others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. March is right around the corner, and spring is not too far behind that. And most of Americans will feel the warmth of spring by Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. Unfortunately for New England and the Northeast, a couple of cold fronts nearby this week to the north will keep it chilly with a little light snows around the Great Lake areas. Temperatures will fall below normal, but lots more sunshine will make the days pleasant through midweek. Light rain lingers in the southeast, but clears out quickly tomorrow, setting the stage for a spring feel. Atlanta, Georgia warms to 61 tomorrow, 72 by Wednesday, and the plain states will really feel the warm-up. 71 in Dallas on Tuesday. St. Louis is close to 70. Even Philadelphia warms to about 55 on Tuesday and Wednesday. And Phoenix, Arizona warms to 85 degrees. More weather news later in the hour. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather is 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
This weekend, Florida Stories has everything. A naked drunk lady, an escaped alligator, a stolen science fair project, an old lady killed by a drawbridge, and then it starts to get weird. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
What do you know about the Ukraine? Really, what do you know about the Ukraine? Everything that I've heard so far has been theoretical or meta-universe. But do you have a mental picture of the Ukraine? No, you don't. You didn't go on vacation to the Ukraine, but actually you've seen pictures of the Ukraine. You've seen stunning video many times of the Ukraine when you've watched this. This is a video by Mo with her number one hit song, and she shot it in the Ukraine. What's the challenge for you and me is to understand that the Ukraine is like where you and I live. It is not a poor country. It is not a beleaguered country. It is a celebrated country with a great history, stable housing. It's a socialist country. I know that's a horrible word, but it's the real deal. Here's what it's like. Let's say Canada tomorrow decided that they would like to export Vermont, that they would like Vermont to become part of Canada. Now, that would be a terrible thing, because then the Canadians would have to listen to Vermont Public Radio. What could be worse than Vermont Public Radio? Nothing. That's like NPR times 10, doubly pretentious. But that's what it would be like, is if the tanks rolled in from Canada, which would mean they're very boring tanks, rolled into Canada, into Vermont, seized the transmitters of Vermont Public Radio, said that the governor of Vermont is now part of Canada, and gee, too bad. And there'd be very little military resistance, if any, if Vermont was taken back. Well, sorry, not taken back, taken to Canada. No different. The weird thing about the poor situation in the Ukraine is that it's a sovereign nation, is an independent nation with a duly elected president who used to be a comic. Now, he admits it. He was a stand-up comic. Our presidents were stand-up comics, but they deny it. Whole different situation. The Ukraine is a solid middle-class country with housing, food, supermarkets, nice clothes, and we'll explore this in about 40 minutes, strip clubs. The Ukraine has the most phenomenal strip clubs and the most bizarre rules for picking up Ukrainian women. It's the most risky thing you could possibly do to pick up a Ukrainian woman, because a Ukrainian woman feels like this. If you are more than 20 years older than she is, which is what most American men would be going to the Ukraine to meet women, she isn't going to go out with you. She'll go out with you to go shopping at Bulgari. She'll go out with you to go to Tiffany's. She'll go out with you to go to the finest restaurant. But she's not going to go to the Four Seasons Hotel with you. But that's my point. There are Four Seasons Hotels in the Ukraine. This is a robust, financially secure nation. And the tanks are rolling over it. Right now, you know what the big issue is right now in the Ukraine? For most Ukrainians is, should I send my kid to school tomorrow? Because they're a real nation. It's like, it wasn't an impoverished nation. These weren't poor people waiting to be saved. There's no one waiting to be saved there. This is a robust country with a robust economy, with many allies. And a thug said, you know, I'd like to have this country. That's it. But the difference between then and now is this. Everybody has a cell phone with movie capability. Everybody has a cell phone with photo picture taking ability. And the minute they take the picture, the minute they make the video, boom, it goes on Instagram, Facebook, all around the world. Everybody in real time can see what the thug is doing. Speaking of the thug, does Vladimir Putin have a wife? We believe he has daughters, and they're secured in other nations, like Amsterdam, so that they are safe. Now, isn't that a sad way to live? Because of his actions, his family has to live in other nations. Boy, that's some guy. But that's what I'd like to hear covered on other news outlets. Wait, what is life like in the Ukraine? What is their life like? Schools, shopping centers, automobiles. Again, they're not going around in pull carts. They're not on horse. This is a wealthy, modern nation, in many ways far more modern and wealthy than Russia, and maybe that's the issue. Here's a little brother or sister nation, keeps poking into Mother Russia, poking into the bear, and they're winning. They're successful. A successful socialist country with wealth and autonomy and independent what? What thinking? What could be scarier than independent thinking? You want to talk about it? You want to talk about how you feel? How do you feel about this? Because the facts are blurry. It's like, why is he doing this? And I love all the conversations about, well, you know, Putin isn't the same as he was. He isn't the same as he was. Well, when did that change? When was there a change in Putin? His eyes look puffy to me. My number is 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. And I want to talk to you. Let's you and I talk. 888. I'm live. Yes, nothing else is live on Sunday night. I know, but this is 888-688-9258. Coming up tonight, we have Sam Liebman, who's going to explain to us what Harvard doesn't teach. What Harvard doesn't teach. Plus, I've got the usual edition. I have Florida stories. We have Vic Ferrari and the amazing cop stories of a retired New York City police detective. And Jill Brooke, who will tell us the similarities in flowers between us and the Ukraine. This is a very big network show.
I have no doubt that President Putin made his decision to ruthlessly attack Ukraine only after watching the pathetic withdrawal from Afghanistan, where the military was taken out first, our soldiers were killed, and American hostages plus $85 billion worth of the finest equipment anywhere in the world were left behind. The NATO nations, and indeed the world, as he looks over what's happening strategically with no repercussions or threats whatsoever, they're not so smart. They're looking the opposite of smart. Putin is saying, oh, they're going to sanction me. They sanctioned me for the last 25 years. You mean I can take over a whole country and they're going to sanction me? You mean they're not going to blow us to pieces, at least psychologically? The problem is not that Putin is smart, which of course he's smart, but the real problem is that our leaders are dumb.
I'm Walter Sterling, and I am thrilled that a new product is part of Sterling on Sunday. This is a proud product, a very special product, a product that you're not going to hear about on those boring talk shows. Are you ready? The name of the product is Filthy Card. You can see them at filthycard.com. Filthycard.com prints high-quality, inappropriate birthday cards with hilarious adult-themed messages for men and women. They're just $3.99 each. Shipping is always free. Tired of paying $8 for sappy cards that you really don't like? At filthycard.com, you can buy a card that says, Happy Birthday, Mother! Well, you get the idea. Stock up now. Convenient men's and women's 10 card sets. You enter the promo code WALTER when you check out, and you'll save an additional $5 on a 10-card set. Go to filthycard.com. Yes, that's what I've been saying, filthycard.com, and enter the promo code WALTER at checkout to save. Filthycard.com. High-quality birthday cards printed in the USA by Americans.
Sterling on Sunday.
There's an explosion of remarkable slippers available at MyPillow. MyPillow brand slippers are remarkable. You can get them in any color you can imagine. They're remarkably soft. They seem to last forever. And you ready for this? You know how when you walk outside in your slippers to get the newspaper or to get a magazine or to chase the kids off the lawn? You can wear these slippers outside. They now have a surplus sale. Too many slippers. You go to 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Call them and tell them what color slipper you want, what size you are, and you will be sent these amazing slippers from MyPillow. The MyPillow brand people make slippers. Listen to me. I'm very cranky about my feet. I have flat feet. I have an accessory navicular. And when I put on these slippers, it goes, it's what I've been waiting for all day. I get them in black, brown, many different shades of brown, pink, white, you name it, they have them. Because right now there's a surplus sale at MyPillow brand. You get the slippers. Go to 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876, and say my name, Walter, and you will get a significant discount on the best slippers you could ever imagine. Go to 800-844-0876.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Jerry Springer.
Well, Jerry, can you hear me?
I can't hear anything.
Sam Liebman. Harvard can't teach you what you learn from the streets. He wrote that book, and coming up in just seconds, you and I will talk to Sam Liebman about what Harvard can't teach you what you learn from the streets. Over the years, there's been an industry of books about what Harvard couldn't teach. And I guess the expectations were high. About 20 years ago, there was a book called the Harvard Business School doesn't teach, things that the Harvard Business School didn't teach you. One of those was my favorite. One of the things that it couldn't teach was that when you go to the airport, you will always want to drive down to arrivals. There's always far less traffic at arrivals. You get out, you go up an escalator inside the terminal, and you're there. If you go to departures, there are always two problems. One is that massive amounts of traffic, and two, angry cops. Those cops at departures at any airport, they have the worst job because no matter what happens, you're going to get away. And it's never set up right. The airports have never been built correctly for actual traffic patterns, which is, I'm going to let off grandma here. She needs to be let off here. This is all we can do. That's what we've got to do. But they don't teach that. So Sam Liebman has a whole list of things that Harvard didn't teach. He's an expert on real estate. Please don't be confused. Don't think he's going to be boring. I promise you he's not going to be boring. He's going to answer key things such as when you get evicted, and I know you've been evicted, when you get evicted, what happens to your pets? That's what he's going to talk about. Useful stuff. At 21 past the hour, this is Sterling on Sunday. I am Walter M. Sterling, and I look forward to being in touch with you at all times, like 365, a 360. What is that stupid thing? You know, the 360 experience. Okay, no one's ever made that work. There's certain technologies that nobody has made work. You know, Sterling 360, and they came to me and they said, would you do this? And I said, no, because it doesn't work. It'll never work. Well, you know, you're not very forward-thinking. Yes, that's right. That's right. The Ukraine, at the Ukraine, at Ukraine. We're not going to call it the Ukraine because I don't want to insult them. But Ukraine is a remarkable country, a modern country with magnificent homes, buildings, businesses. It's as though Mexico invaded Texas. Texas, wonderful, wonderful state, beautiful buildings, great businesses, and the heart of oil in the United States of America. Imagine if Mexico said, oh, time's up. Gee, we always felt you were part of Mexico. And in about 1800, you were part of Mexico. We're going to take you back. That's what it's like. It's not any different. Russia has no more right to Ukraine than Mexico has to the sovereign nation of Texas. You have relatives in the Ukraine? I do. My mother's father was born in Ukraine. His gift certificate is Ukrainian. His gift certificate. You know, it gets crazy when you start thinking this way. His birth certificate is Ukrainian. It's written in Ukrainian. And, you know, there's nothing on there that says Russia. He was Ukrainian. And I am proud of that fact. And now here's the scrambled eggs to change history. They're going to send in tanks, kill thousands of people, ruin hundreds of lives. For what? For what? I think Russia has enough land. I think Russia has enough domestic resources, don't you? I don't think they need any more. Instead, you got this one guy. You always see Vladimir Putin like alone in the biggest offices you've ever seen, almost like a cartoon. He's in these giant marble hallways, surrounded by nothing. And he's sitting there thinking of the next thing to say. He's sitting of the next angry thing he could possibly say to scare the world. Every now and then, you'll see a shot of him with a general who's scared out of his mind. You can see those generals are scared out of their mind because they say one wrong thing and we'll never hear from them again. We'll never see them again. That's the situation it is. Remember the other day when the head of the KGB was on TV with Putin? And he said one wrong thing. He said, well, we're here to have a meeting about this, and we're going to hope and pray we won't need to do it. And Putin looks at him and says, no, we're here about one thing, independence for Ukraine or not. That's all we're here to discuss. Oh, and don't make that mistake again. He was pretty annoyed at him. Would you want Vladimir Putin to be annoyed at you on national TV or wherever that goes? I suppose all TV in Russia is closed circuit. They pick one region, one area, one province, and that's who gets to see it. But my current wife, when this happened, when it was announced that they were going into the country, she felt vulnerable. She looked vulnerable, like, whoa, what do you mean atomic war? What do you mean atomic war? This is going to be bigger. This will be bigger than duck and cover. We won't be able to protect ourselves with duck and cover. It's a terrifying prospect that a man who's alone, doesn't seem to have a wife. If he has a wife, we don't know who she is, has daughters, but we don't know who they are, although they're supposed to live in Amsterdam, according to the National Enquirer. He's like thinking about using nuclear weapons. But you know what the telltale sign to me is about Russia? There was always speculation, which was probably absolutely true, that at the height of the Cold War, they really didn't have atomic weapons. They didn't have any artillery. What they had was a PR machine to make us think they did, to keep us scared. And that's a pretty intriguing theory, because if that's true, it worked. But every time they show a shot of Vladimir Putin's desk, to this day, whenever they show the prime minister, premier, whatever he's called, captain at SpongeBob, whenever they show his desk, ever since the Soviet Union collapsed, whenever they show his desk, there's always the same thing, which to me is very scary. You ready? They have two telephones on that desk, and these telephones are from a movie set in the 1950s. They have two telephones there that are antiques. Why would the head of the Soviet Union have two antique telephones? Look at them. They're white. They're that ivory. They're scary white. And there's John in Kansas City. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Hi, John.
For taking the call. Hey, you're skimming around a lot of history between Russia and Ukraine. You know, that Ukraine was actually part of Russia. When in fact, after World War II, all of Eastern Europe was pretty much, you know, jumped on by Russia. And, you know, it's a Hitler-type mentality that Putin has, just like he used when he went into Poland and, you know, the Sudetenland, that they were German-speaking people in, you know, in the eastern part of the country, just like they're Russian-speaking people in the eastern part of Ukraine, and that it was therefore they had some sovereignty over it. So it's kind of, you know, the same mentality going over again. And once he takes care of Ukraine, he'll probably move into another country, just like they have a history of doing. And I was kind of amazed that you're playing anything from Trump about Afghanistan or Ukraine, because he basically started the ball rolling towards the mess we have now in both places. You know, he's the one.
Thank you for the call. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by SpongeBob.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Very wet in the Pacific Northwest. Seattle will see rain every day this week, which means heavy wet snows in the Olympic and Cascade Mountains and moving into the Northern Sierra by midweek. 5 to 7 inches of rain in Seattle by Friday, 3 to 5 inches of rain in Portland, and over a foot of snow up in Mount Hood, Oregon. Sacramento gets only a tenth of an inch of rain, but perhaps more over the next weekend. Las Vegas can bet on some windy days this week, with temperatures close to 80 degrees on Tuesday through Thursday, turning cooler by next weekend. Same for Southern California as well, perhaps some light rain over the next weekend. Fairbanks, Alaska, and Portland, Maine, about the same forecast. Occasional light snow with a high of around 25 degrees. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
This weekend, Florida Stories has everything. A naked drunk lady, an escaped alligator, a stolen science fair project, an old lady killed by a drawbridge, and then it starts to get weird. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. Imagine Mexico says, you know, we'd like to have Texas back. Because remember, in the 1700s, Mexico and Texas were all one happy family. That's what's happening in Ukraine. That's what's happening with Russia saying, you know, I think it'd be good if we could have Ukraine back. Now, Ukraine today is a sovereign socialist nation, and they have their own president, premier, whatever he is, stand-up comic. They have their own resources, natural resources. They have their own trade agreements with other nations, and they're perfectly happy. And they have an educational system. The educational system's debate right now is, do we teach school tomorrow? Because if we teach school tomorrow, our kids may be bombed to death by Russia. What year is this? Teresa in Pennsylvania, welcome to Sterling on Sunday. Teresa.
The slippers from My Pillow.
Wait, stop.
They are one
stop.
Of the best slippers
wait, Teresa,
I've ever
Teresa,
had.
Teresa, stop and please start
yes.
again. I want to hear this. Start again.
I heard your commercial for My Pillow, which I already have two My Pillows. And the slippers were like a little expensive, but there's 50% off. I ordered them. I just got them 4 days ago. And they are the best slippers I've ever had in my life. I used to go out every 4 weeks or a month and buy another set of pair of slippers. I don't think I'm going to have to do this with these.
What color did you get?
I got black.
Did you know
you
can
wear them outside?
Yes, you can wear them outside.
Yes. If I'm walking my dog, I can wear them outside. If I go to the store, why they're beautiful. So comfortable.
Teresa, did I ask you? No. Did I ask you to call in with this endorsement?
No. That was the first time I ever called in.
Is that right? So do you like the show? That's a very important question. Do you like the show?
I've been listening to your show since you came on. First day you were one for 1 hour, and I haven't stopped. I listen to it every Sunday.
Thank you. You're my hero, and Mike Lindell loves you. You know what I do with this endorsement is I send it to Northern Ad Agency, which places the ads, and I'm very grateful for them, and they actually do send it to Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell will hear this endorsement.
They are the best slippers. I don't know why people don't buy them. I guess they'd rather go out every month to get another pair of slippers. I really don't know. Or go around in raggedy ones. I really don't understand. But these are beautiful.
Thank you very much.
They
you know what? You know what? You're so sweet. If you hold on a second, Henry will take your name and address, and we will send you a My Pillow gift. Is that okay?
That's very nice. You don't have to do that. Okay, if you want.
I don't. That's why we're going to do it. Hold on, please. Henry will take your address. Henry is a very nice man and very tolerant because he works with me. Sue in Pennsylvania, welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Good evening, Walter, and how are you this evening?
Well, I know I'm intellectually outmatched because it's Sue from Pennsylvania.
Stop. You know, I have a pair of those slippers, too. I just thought I'd throw that in, but anyway.
What color?
I have the taupe ones. They're kind of like a grayish tan.
The MyPillow slippers have ruined me for all other footwear. When I first got them about a year and a half ago, it's all I wore for 6 months. They're
makes
incredible.
Sense. Yeah, you can wear them outside. Yeah, they have the kind of sole you can wear them outside and not get wet.
And they're not that expensive. And if you use the promo code Walter, you will get a significant discount if you go to I don't have their phone number here. But go to MyPillow.com and put in the promo code Walter and order the slippers.
Yeah, and, you know, Mike Lindell is a patriot. And, you know, he was discriminated against because he supported Trump and so I feel like we should support people like that. So anyway, that was one of the reasons I bought the slippers.
I think it's so bizarre that any one of us could be discriminated against because we supported a duly elected president, regardless of who he was, regardless of who he was. You are supporting the president of the United States. You're a citizen of the United States. Why would you be discriminated against?
Exactly. Yeah, so, you know, I heard you say that your grandfather was from Ukraine. My grandparents are from Ukraine also. And I had a suspicion you might have some Ukrainian in your background because of you're talking about Parma, because I'm from Parma. And, you know, fortunately for me and my grandparents, they came over here before the Holodomor took place when Stalin came to power over there. And so many people starved to death, you know, from a man-made famine. And I'm sure you're well aware of all of that.
What's interesting to me, and the most interesting thing I've learned about Parma, Ohio, is that it's not what I had envisioned in my head. What I had envisioned in my head was an industrial, rundown, probably grimy city. That's not what it is at all. It is a jewel of a city. It is a definitive middle-class city where you'll see street after street of houses that are very small. I mean, very small, but immaculate, like jewel boxes, immaculate. Every blade of those grasses is cared for. And then, God bless them, they have two Walmarts in Parma. And you ready? A drive-through brew. There's a drive-through brew in Parma, which, as you know, makes me very happy.
Yeah, and they also have great places to buy kvassi, and they have Rudy's Strudel there. And there's a very high concentration of Ukrainians living in Parma.
And a supermarket called, what's the name of it? It's like Ukrainian supermarket. They have a supermarket of Slavic delicacies. And I appreciate the call, and I thank you very much for the call at 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258. Coming up in just 20 minutes, Sam Liebman is going to explain to us what Harvard doesn't teach you. Among the things that Harvard doesn't teach you is that most toll roads in America are supporting a crooked regime. Most toll roads in America are supporting a road that has been paid off decades ago. There's no debt on those roads. And even more amazing, most toll roads today take credit cards. I never thought I would see that. I'm Walter M. Sterling. We're having fun tonight. This is Sterling on Sunday. My Pillow is the company built on comfort. Everything they make that touches you is comfortable. You get more relaxed, more comfortable. Now, listen to this. They make the best slippers I have ever enjoyed. Now, I'm a very good slipper customer because I have flat feet. Yes, flat feet. And people in flat feet are very particular about their slippers. I love the MyPillow slippers because, first of all, they're comfortable on my flat feet. But also, you name the color and they make it. Pink, brown, black, white. MyPillow slippers are amazing, but that's not the best part. The best part is that the MyPillow slippers can be worn outside. You know how in the morning you go outside and you check the bird seed and the newspaper and all of that? Well, the MyPillow slippers can be worn outside. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Call them. Talk to them. There is a MyPillow customer service person waiting to talk to you. Look at the clock. Look at the time of day. Look at the day of the week. Oh, my gosh, there's a MyPillow person waiting to talk to you. They'll listen to your stories, they'll listen to your bad jokes, and they'll answer every question you have about the MyPillow brand slippers. And it's important to call now because they are overstocked. They have too many of these in the warehouse. They got to move it out. You can get the right price. And if you say, my name, Walter, you'll get a great discount. 800-844-0876. Pick up the phone, call them. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Find out everything you want to know about the MyPillow brand slippers and discover a brand new level of comfort for your feet.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Mr. Wizard.
And because a lot of ammonia will dissolve in just a little bit of water, we can make a famous ammonia fountain.
I have no doubt that President Putin made his decision to ruthlessly attack Ukraine only after watching the pathetic withdrawal from Afghanistan, where the military was taken out first, our soldiers were killed, and American hostages plus $85 billion worth of the finest equipment anywhere in the world were left behind. The NATO nations, and indeed the world, as he looks over what's happening strategically with no repercussions or threats whatsoever, they're not so smart. They're looking the opposite of smart. Putin is saying, oh, they're going to sanction me. They sanctioned me for the last 25 years. You mean I can take over a whole country and they're going to sanction me? You mean they're not going to blow us to pieces, at least psychologically? The problem is not that Putin is smart, which of course he's smart, but the real problem is that our leaders are dumb.
10-foot boreholes going through Oak Island in the Money Pit area. They're sifting through rocks, through sand, through dirt. And all of a sudden, they found a trinket. At first, it didn't seem like much, this little metal piece. Then they realized it could be from the Ukraine, Spain, Portugal, France, England, Norway, Sweden, Spain, and now the Ukraine, all connected to Oak Island. The Leginas are all a Twitter. And now with the geopolitical mess that is another land war in Europe, this trinket from Ukraine may be the key to world peace. May the Ukrainians stand up straight, knowing that they are a part of Oak Island. From Maine to La Jolla to my living room, this is noted Oak Island expert, Velo Hool, for Sterling at Night.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. And let's stay in touch. My email is waltermsterling@gmail.com. That's S-T-E-R. You'd be shocked at the spellings I have suffered through. The spellings I have suffered through with my simple name, Walter M. Sterling, S-T-E, at Gmail. And then I have a podcast. And the reason I have a podcast, you know this is true, is because of federal law. If you host a talk show, you must step down from the magnificent, incredibly great distribution method known as AM or FM radio, KMBZ FM in Kansas City, KDKA AM in Pittsburgh, KFBK in Sacramento. Magnificent, pure, 100-year-old signals. Proven media. It's not old tech, you jerks. It's not old tech. It's proven technology. They want me to step off of those platforms, as they stupidly call it, and they want me to make a podcast. Now, what is the advantage of a podcast? Well, let me tell you, the only advantage of a podcast is that I get to talk one-on-one with you with things that I cannot say on the air involving slander and curse words. And the only sales benefit is there's no doubt as to who's getting those podcasts. Except if you really go into granular level, you will often find that those podcasts are going to Bangladesh. What? Yes, you'll often find they're going to Bangladesh. Why is that? Click Farms. Here's how it works. You go to a number of websites where you can hire people in Bangladesh to click your podcast up into the millions. Now, I'm not saying that everybody does that, but I'm saying that most people do that. You can get any. I experimented once. I wanted to see if I could get my podcast into the top 100 on Apple, on their page of top 100 podcasts. And son of a gun, I sure did. For about $200, I was able to clickbait it up into the top 50 on Apple of most popular podcasts. Well, it wasn't the most popular podcast. It was just the most clicked podcast. Now, coming up, we have Sam Liebman. Sam Liebman is a very big man. He's a very successful real estate guy. But more importantly, unlike most successful real estate guys, he's not a pretentious dick. Most of them are. You know, I have a very secret method, you know. And he doesn't have a no money down claim. And he doesn't have a, you know, buy multiple family homes and you'll become rich. He's just got some common sense stuff that he got from the street that I thought would be very good to share with you, because Sam Liebman was one of the few people I've ever spoken to who has tremendous success with real estate, who I can understand, and who did not inherit it from his father. Very often when you meet or hear somebody who has tremendous success in real estate, it is in fact inherited from their father. Well, that's not the case with Sam. I suspect Sam's father was very good at slicing corned beef, which to me is a greater skill than buying real estate. But, you know, who am I to judge? Here's your phone number. It's 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. And then in 55 minutes, you and I'll talk to Jill Brook, who made some astonishing discoveries about the relationship between Ukrainian war, Ukrainian people, and us, and flowers. There's good news in there, and it comes in the form of flowers. Now, I'm not normally attracted to such sappy stories, but what she found was like, whoa, that's pretty cool. Then I'll have Vic Ferrari and his private detective stories. A retired New York City cop joins us every week on Sterling on Sunday. Not one of those stupid true crime podcasts that nobody likes. Nobody likes it. Too much scripting, too much ambient music. No. Vic is a real New York City cop who has real New York City stories, and I love him for that. Then, in the next hour and the hour after that, in the Midnight Misfit Hour, we will hear Florida stories. You see, it's a whole buffet of entertainment laid out for you until 1 a.m. Live. Yes, I'm live. That's the miracle of Sterling on Sunday. You should feel very good about this, because no one else even makes the slightest effort for you on Sunday night. Not the slightest effort. What do they do on Sunday night? The Bitcoin show. The no money down real estate show. The your portfolio and you show. Now, it doesn't make a lot of sense to do shows about portfolios when no one has any money. 80% of Americans have no savings account. But gosh darn it, we're going to keep doing these portfolio shows. We have fun here. All right, I'm Walter M. Sterling. Sterling on Sunday at 888-688-WALT.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. March is right around the corner, and spring is not too far behind that. And most of Americans will feel the warmth of spring by Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. Unfortunately for New England and the Northeast, a couple of cold fronts nearby this week to the north will keep it chilly with a little light snows around the Great Lake areas. Temperatures will fall below normal, but lots more sunshine will make the days pleasant through midweek. Light rain lingers in the southeast, but clears out quickly tomorrow, setting the stage for a spring feel. Atlanta, Georgia warms to 61 tomorrow, 72 by Wednesday, and the Plain States will really feel the warm-up. 71 in Dallas on Tuesday. St. Louis is close to 70. Even Philadelphia warms to about 55 on Tuesday and Wednesday. And Phoenix, Arizona warms to 85 degrees. More weather news later in the hour. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather is 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
This weekend, Florida Stories has everything. A naked drunk lady, an escaped alligator, a stolen science fair project, an old lady killed by a drawbridge, and then it starts to get weird. For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. That's coming up on Florida Stories.
More weather at 36 past the hour on Sterling on Sunday, driving across Route 80, going across the country on a cold winter night. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday. This is a live radio show. I mention that because it's so bizarre that every show isn't live. It is almost irresponsible and criminal that there are radio signals on the air that are not live. And they used to have to say, you know, if they were not live, they used to have to make it clear it wasn't live. That's no longer true. Sam Liebman has written a great book, and the great book is called Harvard Can't Teach What You Learn from the Streets. Let's read that again. Harvard Can't Teach What You Learn from the Streets. This is a series of lessons and observations of Sam Liebman about actual teachings from the street. Now, the thing about Sam is he's rich. We love guys who are rich, especially guys who have no particular skills and guys who have no particular education to become rich. Sam learned how to be rich from experience and trial and error and success. That's what Sam has done. Hi, Sam. Welcome to Sterling on Sunday.
Pleasure to be here.
Now, Sam, give me one example of what you learned from the streets of Brooklyn, Queens, that no way would you learn in any college.
Oh, there's just so many. I'll give you a perfect example of what I call a perfect example of street smarts. Everybody remembers the movie The Godfather. I think it's the 50th anniversary, in fact. And there was a scene in The Godfather where Marlon Brando and Michael are in the garden in the back. And Marlon Brando turns to Michael and he says, "Michael, remember, the person who calls the meeting, he's the traitor." That is what I call street smarts. It's learning a sixth sense. It's learned to get your spider sense tingling when you see something is wrong. And that is a function of how we're all wired and experience. And I personally, you know, I grew up in the streets of Canarsie, Brooklyn, which is I also refer to as the Mafia Minor Leagues. And being there, it's a survival quest. I mean, every day from school, I didn't know if I was, you know, somebody was waiting to take my head off. So you have to learn anticipation. You have to learn to really just read the wind, read the market, read the people. And that's what I've learned to do, and I've used that through my entire real estate career.
I was taught one street smart thing from the maitre d' at the Four Seasons restaurant in New York City, when that was the restaurant. It is very sad it's no longer there. But here's what he taught me about people coming to his restaurant, being seated, who gets seated where. He said, the most powerful person always shows up first. And he said, the power person in that foursome, fivesome, sixsome, they show up first. And son of a gun, I used to meet for lunch pretty regularly with the editor-in-chief of Parade magazine, a brilliant man named Walter Anderson, brilliant man. And, you know, we'd have lunch at, say, noon. And I think I'd be doing pretty good if I showed up a quarter to 12. But son of a gun, he'd be there. Walter Anderson would be there at a quarter of 12. And then I said, okay, let me try this again. I'll show up at 25 to noon. 25 to noon. And there he was. He'd show up ahead of me. Finally, I said, okay. I showed up at 11:15 for a noon lunch. And that's when I was able to beat him. I had to get there 45 minutes ahead of time to be able to beat him. So those are some of the things that they don't teach you in school. One of the other things they don't teach you in school is that when you go for a power lunch, where you're seated in the restaurant is far more important than who you're eating with.
Very true.
Now, but about real estate, if I were to start to negotiate for the price of a house or the price of a building, what are some of the tips that I should have, Sam?
Well, when you buy a house, it's a little different because it's personal. When you buy a building, it's a little bit less personal. It's all about the numbers. So if it's talking about investing rather than buying a house, because right now people are just, you know, there's such a shortage of houses, people are just scrambling to grab the asset, even if they overpay. But for investment purposes, I like to focus on multifamily because my whole thing is to build wealth. And there's a difference between being rich and being wealthy. And the comedian Chris Rock said it best. He said, Shaq is rich. The guy who signs his check is wealthy. And you achieve wealth by owning a large asset base. When you flip houses or buy houses, you really don't achieve that large asset base that continues to appreciate. So when I buy, I don't get emotional about real estate. I get emotional about the numbers. I look at the numbers, and I say, where am I going to be in 5 years? That's where I get excited about. So as far as tips are, if you're looking to, you know, for houses, the tips would be, you know, great neighborhoods, good schools, etc. If you're looking for investments, it's a whole different ballgame. You're looking for potential, untapped potential that is overlooked by others. And that's what my book is all about, is about teaching you these street smarts and how to master the fundamentals that you need to achieve wealth.
Sam Liebman, tell me two fundamentals I need to know to achieve wealth.
Well, the basic fundamental of real estate is to understand the difference between being rich and building wealth. There's four ways that I identified of how to increase a property's value. The first way is you do nothing. You just buy a building and you pray it goes up. And that's what everybody seems to do except the pros. That's not what the pros do. What the pros do is they try to increase the rentable, the rents of the building, the revenue. They increase the rentable square footage of the building. And the fourth way is to decrease operating expenses. And I'm going to tell you a little statistic that if people understand about net operating income and cap rate is the key to being wealthy.
No. Stop right there. No. We're talking to Americans. We don't know what cap rate is. We don't know what. I have no idea what that is.
Okay. Would you like me to explain?
In the simplest terms possible.
Okay. That's what we try to do. So basically, every time that you increase a rent a dollar or you decrease an operating expense a dollar, that income is referred to as your net operating income. Then you apply or divide it by what's called a cap rate, which is a market. So it's in, right
no,
now, let's
no,
say
no,
it's 5%.
No. I'm going to pause. I'm going to ask you to clear your mind, simplify it. Never say the words cap rate ever again on this radio or at dinner with other people, because the minute you say things like cap rate, this is what I hear in my head. Can't be understood. So I'm going to pause. You're going to simplify it. And here's your phone number, 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258, because the information you have is golden, and I want it to be easily understood and absorbed and put to use by everybody. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Neil Rogers.
And the right against the left, and the left against the right, and who's got the better haircut? The same old, tried and true, tired, monotonous crap that doesn't change anything, and the median age of your audience is death.
Going on Sunday from scratch, Sam Liebman. I am so honored to have you on the show. Sam Liebman has created wealth from scratch. Did you inherit any money, Sam?
Yeah, negative.
There you go. No, that's why you're my hero. I have tremendous respect for anybody who can build wealth from scratch. I want to ask you, Sam, when did you first start to feel you could buy a whole roll of stamps and not just one stamp at a time? When did you feel you had created enough wealth to go, ha?
That's a good question. I never, you know, my goal was never to be the richest guy in the cemetery. I always just focused on mastering fundamentals, and I always knew the money would be there, except I definitely had a fire in my stomach because of where I grew up and all the negativity. That fueled my desire to be successful. And there was a time, actually, a funny story. I and two partners, we had owned about six small properties. Actually, we were third partners, and we were sitting in a little conference room, and we had to do a financial statement for the bank. And we looked at each other, and we did the financial statement. We said, you know what? We're millionaires. That was the first time I actually understood the concept. And that really was the first time, that time with my two buddies who I partnered with, and realized that, okay, I'm a millionaire.
Yeah, well, it's a fantastic feeling, and you earned it. And I'd like mm-hmm. you to share some of the steps that you did to make that happen, because you had no money. And one of the frustrating things about watching late-night TV, that's a good question. No money down real estate. No money down housing. Is that possible?
It's possible, but there's a lot of scams out there, because there really is no money down. You need to put money down. You need to leverage. But there are fundamentals that you need to take to do it the right way. And that's why I wrote the book, to be honest with you, because I saw a polluted marketplace where they don't teach you the fundamentals. But
the name.
To get back to your question about what I did. You know, I was always entrepreneurial. When I was 12 years old, I mean, I got nothing. I mean, you know, we lived in a house that was just unfortunately filthy. My friends used to say to me, you know, do you have mice? I said, we used to, but then the rats ate them. It was disgusting where I came. My father was very dysfunctional. His favorite line was, I can't help you. And if I can have $5 to join the Little League, I can't help you. So it was all on me. And I had to really learn to be on my own at a young age, because I felt I couldn't really count on anyone but myself. And I fought. I fought and I fought. And I majored in accounting. And then I worked for a few firms. And then, you know, I felt like everybody's scorekeeper. You know, they were getting rich and I was keeping score. I said, I could do this. And then I left and I partnered with two friends, which I recommend anybody who wants to get into real estate or any business, is basically partner with people where you don't have your weaknesses. So, for instance, I had the ability as an accountant to raise money from clients. I had a partner that was had a management company, another one that had a construction company. And as we grew, I learned what I didn't know, which is what they did know, and then we sprouted off into different things, and 70 buildings later, you know, that was a story.
You own 70 buildings?
I have over the course of my career, yes. I started with small buildings in the East Village in Manhattan. I was lucky to pick markets. You know, you got to buy real estate when nobody wants it. Right now, everybody wants it. So, yeah. I mean, it is a real rags-to-riches story, but the fire in the belly just kept going. I read everything. I wanted to be successful. I wasn't going to let anything stop me. And it was more what motivated me was when somebody talked negative, especially a lot of my family, you can't do it, who are you, that type of stuff. And after a while, to get back to your question, I think, was you reach a certain point in your life where you just feel satisfied. You know, you feel you accomplished something. And that was in that room when I said, hey, I'm a millionaire.
I felt that I was starting to do well, no kidding, when I bought 2 bars of soap, one for the sink, one for the bathtub. I was doing good. And then I felt I was doing good when I could go to the post office and buy a roll of stamps rather than one at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the little measures that I went, oh, things are getting better. Sam Liebman has written, Harvard can't teach you. Oh, I can't keep not seeing that. You know, Sam, I can't really be successful unless I can read. Harvard can't teach you what you learn from the streets. And it's a great read because it's anecdotal. You'll see that the rules of success apply to anything you might want to do. But the hardest rule today, Sam, is that no matter how the economy turns around, nobody has any money. You're successful. There are some wealthy people, but 80% of Americans have no savings account. They have no 401k. They have nothing to support a let's see investment. Do you have advice? Mm-hmm. Do you have advice?
Yes. I'm going to say something that might surprise you. But if you have the knowledge and you master the fundamentals, there's plenty of money out there. Plenty of money. When I bought my first 30 deals, I didn't put up a dime of my own money. You know, if I had the algorithm for Google and I could put it together and package it, you think I'd have any problem raising money?
Right.
The hardest thing to do right now is identify opportunities that are overlooked by others. You know, on my tax return, where it says occupation, you know what I write down? I don't put real estate owner. I put opportunist.
Very good.
I am an opportunist. I go where the opportunity is. And basically, you have to get to a point where you master these fundamentals, you grow, where you can see opportunities overlooked by others. I look at property and businesses different than most people. Now, so what I'm trying to say is if you don't have any money to start, but you can learn how to find a deal and analyze it by studying and taking courses, then if you find a building, property, you'll get all the money you need. And that's the truth. Right now, there's tons of money around. Investors are dying to invest. They don't have the property.
Sam,
look what's going on. Yeah.
Sam, thank you so much for being with us tonight and for being so motivational. Sam Liebman, author of Harvard Can't Teach What You Learn from the Streets. Sam Liebman, thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. All right, let's you and I talk. Coming up in just seconds, Jill Brook will share with us. She's an expert on flowers. Now, I know that doesn't seem quite like me, but she'll show us the similarities between us and Ukraine in flowers. Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Mr. Beast.
I just bought this house, and I'm going to give it to Chandler.
Really?
No!
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Very wet in the Pacific Northwest. Seattle will see rain every day this week, which means heavy wet snows in the Olympic and Cascade Mountains and moving into the Northern Sierra by midweek. 5 to 7 inches of rain in Seattle by Friday, 3 to 5 inches of rain in Portland, and over a foot of snow up in Mount Hood, Oregon. Sacramento gets only a tenth of an inch of rain, but perhaps more over the next weekend. Las Vegas can bet on some windy days this week, with temperatures close to 80 degrees on Tuesday through Thursday, turning cooler by next weekend. Same for Southern California as well, perhaps some light rain over the next weekend. Fairbanks, Alaska, and Portland, Maine, about the same forecast. occasional light snow with a high of around 25 degrees. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome to Florida Stories. One of the amazing things you do not realize about Florida Stories is the amazing pile of stories that I do not have time to get to each and every weekend. One of the biggest contributors to the depletion of the Amazon rainforest is the amount of stories that I have to print out just to bring you these segments every weekend. For our first Florida story, we're going to West Palm Beach, where a 79-year-old grandmother was walking her bicycle across a drawbridge that connects to Palm Beach. She's about halfway across, and the bells start warning that the bridge is going to go up.
It was a horrific accident. An elderly woman plunges to her death when a drawbridge opens. 79-year-old Carol Wright was walking with her bike across the Royal Park Bridge. She was halfway across when the bridge opened, and she could not get off in time.
So this drawbridge starts going up, and Grandma is clinging to one of the guardrails, like in Titanic when the ship's going down and she's just hanging on for life. She hangs on as long as she can, but finally her little 79-year-old hands fail her and she plunges to her death. Any accidental death, any loss of life is a tragedy. But if I'm 79 years old and I've basically accomplished all the things in my life that I'm going to accomplish, I'm not saying I want to die from flying off of a drawbridge, but if I had to choose how I was going to die, that might make like the top 10. Because ask yourself, would you rather at 79 years old be dying with your family all around you after a four-year painful bout with cancer and all the chemo and everyone's just sitting around you crying and your grandson's holding your hand and you look awful, you feel awful, you don't have any hair, your face is all sunk in? No, I'd rather fall off the drawbridge. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer.
For our next Florida story, we're going to go down the coast a little bit to Miami. Another god-awful, horrible tragedy and loss of human life. There's a beautiful little Miami Beach restaurant, I mean, right on the beach. And there was a rich old grandma trying to park. She's in her 80s, and I say she's rich because she's driving a Bentley. I don't know, maybe she stole it. And it's the classic case of mistaking the gas pedal for the brake and hammers the gas and plows right into a patio full of people who are eating. 6 injured, 1 dead. And how awful is that? It's one thing when they accidentally accelerate into like a Burger King or hit the front of a grocery store, maybe. Stay tuned. Today's second installment of Florida Stories is right around the corner. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
Jill Brook is the owner and the creator of a stunning website about flowers. And you might think, well, I have no interest in that. You just what? Who just lost connection? Oh. I just get these secret messages in my ear that confuse me a lot. So Jill Brook is with us. And she is the owner and creator of a stunning website about flowers. And you might think, flowers, what do I care? You go to this website, and you will be amazed at what you see. What is the name of the website, Jill?
Flower Power Daily.
Jill, did we lose you? Did we disconnect from you?
It was one of those technical gremlins, but nonetheless,
yes.
It's all remedied now.
Yes. What do you think the source of that gremlin was?
Human error. It happens.
Well, the reason I ask is it happened the last time you were on, and therefore I need to trace this down.
Oh, yes, really. Yeah. We have to have the source, Sherlock. What could have happened? I know what happened this time. I can't remember last time, but I also remember that we had a really fun, interesting conversation and unexpected history about flowers.
Now, share with us about sunflowers and Ukraine.
Well, you know, there have been two news stories this week that in this David and Goliath story, and one of them was this old Ukrainian woman who gave sunflower seeds to a Russian soldier and said, I hope that you die and then flowers will grow in your place. And that made headlines around the world. And somebody may be wondering now, why sunflower seeds? Well, it does say something about a culture when their national flower is the sunflower. But the Ukraine is also the world's largest producer and exporter of sunflower seeds and sunflower oil. And the most interesting piece about this is that flowers always tie us together. And it turns out that back in the 1880s, somebody from the Ukraine came to the United States in North America and saw sunflowers and brought those seeds back to the Ukraine. And then guess what happened? During Lent, all right, the Orthodox Church, you know, restricted butter, and people still want to cook. And they said, okay, well, let's try this sunflower oil. And it turned out to be a huge hit. And it made the sunflower a popular flower. So now all throughout the Ukraine are big fields of sunflowers. And it's an integral part of their culture. It's a motif on furniture in wood. You may also see all the little girls with the wreath around their hair. And more inspiring is that during when the women, go to war and they're all, in their combat uniform, there's also images of them with the sunflower along with the blue flower, because the two colors of the Ukrainian flag, which we're seeing now across the country, is yellow and blue.
It is tragic what's happened in Ukraine. I mean, it's like I explained earlier. I said it's as though Mexico decided to annex Texas. This is a modern socialist country. It has a robust economy. It has a democratically elected president who was a stand-up comic. And this is just, it's tragic on every level. They raise sunflowers. What is their other main flower?
Well, they just love flowers. It's a it's a culture that really appreciates beauty. But I just want to rewind the tape for 1 second. There is a David and Goliath story here that we have seen so few heroes. And I think that with Zelensky making that choice, whatever is past, this is clearly his moment. And here he was that years ago, a family had 4 sons. 3 of them were killed by the Nazis, and one of them is now the grandson, is the president of Ukraine, who instead of fleeing and being given an escape hatch, said, no, I'm going to put on my combat uniform, and I'm going to put a shield to tyranny. People are going to see our faces, not our back. He's inspired a country, and actually, Walter, if you think about it, the world. You have Finland, you have Sweden now wanting to join NATO. That's highly unique. You have Switzerland offering to send and arms as well as, freeze bank accounts. It has unified NATO and even expanded it because of this one heroic act from the most unexpected person. And I think that, that is really unbelievably unique. As we know in ancient times, bringing it back to flowers, flowers are not only the source of comfort, but they have often taught us lessons about the cycles as well as the fragility of life. Do you have any idea why the poppy is a military symbol around the world?
No.
Well, when Napoleon raised Europe and so many had died without proper burials, the red poppies grew mysteriously over the land, giving people hope for the future. And then that same phenomena happened during World War I. And you may have heard that famous poem called Flanders. Well, that was because the poppies grew in place of the soldiers. And so that is why the poppy is a flower for military remembrance and a symbol. Because it's obviously the red was for bloodshed as well as for the miracle of how life goes on and especially when you lose your life for honor. So flowers have always been symbolic.
Joe Brook, what's the name of your website?
Flower Power Daily.
Flower Power Daily. Jill Brook was the creator. She's the driving force behind it. I learn something from it every time I look at it. Flower Power Daily. Thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. It's 46 past the hour. It's a cold night throughout North America. This is the night to get on the road, to drive, to have a little time alone in the cab of your truck. It's special. This is Sterling on Sunday. MyPillow is the company built on comfort. Everything they make that touches you is comfortable. You get more relaxed, more comfortable. Now, listen to this. They make the best slippers I have ever enjoyed. Now, I'm a very good slipper customer because I have flat feet. Yes, flat feet. And people in flat feet are very particular about their slippers. I love the MyPillow slippers because, first of all, they're comfortable on my flat feet. But also, you name the color and they make it. Pink, brown, black, white. MyPillow slippers are amazing, but that's not the best part. The best part is that the MyPillow slippers can be worn outside. You know how in the morning you go outside and you check the bird seed and the newspaper and all of that? Well, the MyPillow slippers can be worn outside. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Call them. Talk to them. There is a MyPillow customer service person waiting to talk to you. Look at the clock. Look at the time of day. Look at the day of the week. Oh, my gosh. There's a MyPillow person waiting to talk to you. They'll listen to your stories. They'll listen to your bad jokes. And they'll answer every question you have about the MyPillow brand slippers. And it's important to call now because they are overstocked. They have too many of these in the warehouse. They got to move it out. You can get the right price. And if you say, my name, Walter, you'll get a great discount. 800-844-0876. Pick up the phone, call them. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Find out everything you want to know about the MyPillow brand slippers and discover a brand new level of comfort for your feet.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Sterling on Sunday doesn't fit in.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker. Welcome to part two of Florida Story. For our next Florida Story, we're going to St. Augustine, Florida. They have a killer zoo there, and you know they have a good gator exhibit because, hey, it's Florida. 3 days ago, there's a van from the St. Augustine Alligator Farm that was taking some gators from the zoo to their farm. And while they're stopped at a stoplight, the guy behind them sees an alligator bust through the back window of the van and then squeeze his big, dumb alligator body out of the back window. So he pulls out his phone and starts filming it. The gator falls, and he starts running down Anastasia Boulevard in St. Augustine. Immediately, a couple of wranglers from the St. Augustine Alligator Farm jump out of the van, jump on the back of this gator, lasso it, tie it up, and chuck it back in the van. But does this happen where you live? And then the cameraman says, "See you later, gator." For our next Florida story, we're going to Largo, where a 40-year-old Florida man has a 21-year-old girlfriend. When they got back from a long night of partying at a festival, they got into a big argument because the 21-year-old girlfriend couldn't find her phone. 40-year-old Florida man isn't much help in the search for the phone, so when she finds it, she's still upset and screaming at him, and he's sitting at his desk going over something on the computer, and she comes up behind him and starts smacking him. And he thinks this is some kind of kinky foreplay thing. He's like, "Boy, I don't know what these kids are into these days, but I'll just roll with the punches," you know, pun intended. He thought it was like a 50 Shades of Grey sort of sadomasochism thing. And it wasn't until she almost knocked him unconscious because she hit him with an object in the head that he's like, "Hang on a second. This isn't foreplay?" And so he goes and locks himself in the bathroom, calls the cops at 4:30 in the morning, and they come to get her. And the mugshot's hilarious because they had been at the festival the night before. She had some sort of face painting thing going on where it looks like her face is like a butterfly wing or something. But I can't laugh too much at this guy because, I mean, all guys are stupid like this. Women, you'd be surprised what guys would put up with if they think it's foreplay. Or disappointed is probably a better word. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is this?
For our next Florida story, we're going to go back down to Miami, where the Miss Alabama winner for 2021 decided she's going to go on a little weekend fun. And accidentally, I hope it's an accident. They're saying the story's an accident. Accidentally fell off a third floor balcony to her death. Matt, I am not intending for Florida stories to be this dark this week, but I mean, this is what we get. It's been a dark week in Florida. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is this?
Stay tuned. Today's third installment of Florida Stories is on the way. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production, springrockmedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter at James Parker Show. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
You think, I've never seen Ukraine, but if you've seen the video that goes with this song by Mo, M-O, you have seen Ukraine. It's a brilliant video showing the landscape of Ukraine, showing a suburban area in Ukraine, and dozens of teenagers and young adults making this video. But you get a sense of Ukraine. You get a sense of what it's like to be there, to live there, what they drive, the amazing motorcycles they've got. It's pretty cool. By Mo. It's Sterling on Sunday. On a cold Sunday night throughout North America, you and I are enjoying this time together because it's live. Now, let me tell you something really scary. This is really scary. My 16-year-old daughter decided that she wanted to drive for 9 hours alone from Ohio to New York City to visit her best friend. A 9-hour drive alone, the first time she's ever driven 9 hours alone from Ohio to New York City. And I keep looking at my cell phone to see if there's trouble. The last time I texted her, she said, I'm in New York City now. Now, that doesn't mean she's where she needs to be, which is Brooklyn. There is nothing harder to do. Listen to me. There's nothing harder to do to get from the Harlem River Drive to the center of downtown Brooklyn. That is the single hardest driving you can do. And if she manages to do that successfully, she will be my hero, because usually what happens to me is I find myself circling the Grand Army Plaza over and over again to try to figure out what is the proper exit. What do I have to achieve to get off of that road? Coming up, you and I have Vic Ferrari stories. A retired New York City police detective gives you a true New York City police detective story. Not some silly, you know, true detective crap. It's crap. This is the real thing. And that's coming up in just seconds. What else have I got for you? Two more Florida stories. Two more. No one else offers you anything that good. And Velo Hool. We'll explain again what's going on at Oak Island and how it reflects on Ukraine. And I want to talk to you about Ukraine. Let's talk about how you feel, your fears, your concerns, and I will share mine at 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258. The name of the show is Sterling on Sunday. You and I can stay in touch by email all week at waltermsterling@gmail.com. WalterMSterling@gmail.com. I answer every email that I get. Why? Well, because I have very little to do during the week, and I have a podcast called Midnight Misfits. That's you.
Who was this man? What was it? Others looked at radio and saw a gadget.
Walter M. Sterling
looked at radio and saw a household possession capable of enriching the lives of millions.
Join the Walter M. Sterling Club.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. March is right around the corner, and spring is not too far behind that. And most of Americans will feel the warmth of spring by Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. Unfortunately for New England and the Northeast, a couple of cold fronts nearby this week to the north will keep it chilly with a little light snows around the Great Lake areas. Temperatures will fall below normal, but lots more sunshine will make the days pleasant through midweek. Light rain lingers in the southeast, but clears out quickly tomorrow, setting the stage for a spring feel. Atlanta, Georgia warms to 61 tomorrow, 72 by Wednesday, and the plain states will really feel the warm-up. 71 in Dallas on Tuesday. St. Louis is close to 70. Even Philadelphia warms to about 55 on Tuesday and Wednesday. And Phoenix, Arizona warms to 85 degrees. More weather news later in the hour. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather is 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
You're a dinosaur, Sipowicz.
I'm a dinosaur.
You jeopardize that collar because it sticks in your throat on first grade.
It sticks in my throat, how you got it?
Every white guy in the department with second grade thinks he should have gotten my grade promotion. Half of you guys think I got it on my back.
Hey, Walter, on this week's episodes of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I'd like to talk to your audience about what it's like when a New York City detective has to work with an outside agency. Now, depending on your investigation, you could be working with a variety of different federal and state and local agencies, DEA, ATF, FBI, LOMNOP. You get the general idea. You're going to be out there with all these different agencies. And some of these investigators are very good. They get back to you in a timely manner. They provide information. There's an exchange of ideas. Other times you get saddled with someone that's very difficult to work with for a variety of reasons. Either they're dumb as the day is long, or they just don't get it. They're incredibly lazy, or in some cases, they're too gung-ho and you're afraid they're going to do something ridiculous in the field that's going to cause a problem. So one afternoon, my partner and I were bit players on this case, and we were doing a case takedown. So we show up to our office out in Queens at 4 in the morning, and everybody's given an investigator from a different agency, and you get your marching orders. You get a folder, who to arrest, where your search warrant is, etc. On that particular day, my partner and I didn't really have an interesting assignment. We had to go up to the Bronx on White Plains Road. There was an insurance agency that was selling forged auto insurance cards. So there's this guy from this other agency supposed to come out with us, and we're in the parking lot. We're explaining to him what we got, and he's putting on a ballistic helmet, this really heavy-duty SWAT bulletproof vest. He's got a gun strapped to his leg, and I'm like, whoa, take it easy. I go, this is an insurance agency. They're not going to be open until 10 o'clock. I said, so we're going to go get breakfast. And when we do go in, we're not going in like gangbusters. It's a business. We're just going to walk in, serve the search warrant, lock up the owner, look for insurance cards, and leave. He says, well, I'm going to go up there and surveil the place. I says, well, they're closed. There's nothing on White Plains Road at 10 o'clock in the morning. He goes, well, I'm going. I says, you want to go for breakfast? He goes, nope. He takes off. So my lieutenant goes, where's Inspector Gadget going? I says, he wants to surveil the place. He goes, he don't eat breakfast? I said, no, apparently not. So before we do the warrant, it's about 9:45, and my lieutenant tells him, look, we're not looking for the Lindbergh baby, okay? We just want to go in there and get a couple of insurance cards and lock up the owner. This isn't even our case. So the guy's fiddling around with a camera. So we go, what are you doing? He goes, well, I want to film this as a training video for my unit. So he's, okay, whatever you want to do. So we walk in the place with our ray jackets. Police don't move. We make the owners of the store go in a corner. They get searched. They get handcuffed. They get put in the car. We start searching the place. Well, this guy is filming everything, and he keeps telling my partner and I to stop because he's running out of film. He's got to adjust his camera. And I said, hey, Scorsese, listen, it doesn't work that way. We're trying to execute a search warrant, get evidence, and then get the hell out of here. We're not here for your training video. So needless to say, he wasn't happy with us. We weren't happy with him. So as you can see, when you're a member of the New York City Police Department, you work with a variety of different agencies, and a lot of times you have no idea what you're going to get. So be sure to check out my new book, NYPD, Law and Disorder.
Doesn't he have the best stories? I know you've wasted time on true crime podcasts or, you know, the Secret River podcast. Cops with Guns podcasts. And they always sound the same. They're homogenized. They have actors, they have music, and they're very long. Vic Ferrari does these great true stories in 3 minutes. only on Sterling on Sunday and in the Sterling on Sunday Midnight Misfit podcast. Yes, I do make a podcast. I make it against my will. And as I was explaining earlier, the reason podcasts are forced upon radio hosts is because salespeople believe that they can precisely target the advertisers for them and that they have more reach. Let me help you. The reason some of these podcasts have 10 million views, 10 million downloads, has nothing to do with the podcast. I've once looked at some of these podcasts, and they had 250 million downloads. Not every podcast that was made. One podcast, 250 million downloads. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's two-thirds of the population of the United States of America. I just don't believe that, you know, a public radio podcast is able to attract two-thirds of the population of America. Therefore, the Midnight Misfit podcast is authentic. It's an honest count. We have an honest number count. The podcast drops every Tuesday, and it contains my deep thoughts, plus one of our features, either Velo Hool, Florida Stories, Vic Ferrari, always one of our features attached to the podcast. But how much time will it take from you? About 13 minutes. That's all. It's only going to take about 13 minutes. I'm Walter Sterling, and this is Sterling on Sunday. Well, this is greeting card season, and when I go to the store and look for a greeting card, first, I'm shocked by the price, but secondly, I'm shocked by the sappy art and messages. And it's just like, no, this isn't me, but I'll tell you what is me. It's a company called FilthyCard.com, F-I-L-T-H-Y, FilthyCard.com. They print high-quality, completely inappropriate birthday cards with hilarious adult-themed messages for men and women. They're just $39.99. Shipping is always free. Tired of paying $8 for a sappy card that you don't like? At FilthyCard.com, you can buy a card that says, "Happy Birthday, Mother." Well, you get the idea. Stock up now. Convenient men's and women's 10-card sets. Enter the promo code WALTER when you check out and save an additional $5 on a 10-card set. Go to FilthyCard.com and enter the promo code WALTER at the checkout, and you'll save. FilthyCard.com. High-quality birthday cards printed in the USA by Americans.
Sterling on Sunday.
There's an explosion of remarkable slippers available at MyPillow. MyPillow brand slippers are remarkable. You can get them in any color you can imagine. They're remarkably soft. They seem to last forever. And you ready for this? You know how when you walk outside in your slippers to get the newspaper or to get a magazine or to chase the kids off the lawn? You can wear these slippers outside. They now have a surplus sale. Too many slippers. You go to 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Call them and tell them what color slipper you want, what size you are, and you will be sent these amazing slippers from MyPillow. The MyPillow brand people make slippers. Listen to me. I'm very cranky about my feet. I have flat feet. I have an accessory navicular. And when I put on these slippers, it goes, it's what I've been waiting for all day. I get them in black, brown, many different shades of brown, pink, white, you name it, they have them. Because right now there's a surplus sale at MyPillow brand. You get the slippers. Go to 800-844-0876, 800-844-0876, and say my name, Walter, and you will get a significant discount on the best slippers you could ever imagine. Go to 800-844-0876.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the words of Al Bundy.
I feel better after I have a nice cup of coffee.
We have to get rid of that one. It's not funny. I have pulled out other Al Bundy ones to make where he says, I love Biggins Magazine, where he talks about Playmates. Far more entertaining than him saying he needs a cup of coffee. I need a cup of coffee. In fact, I have a cup of coffee. I have a new obsession. But first, I have news. My 16-year-old daughter is in the process of driving from Ohio to Brooklyn alone. Brooklyn to Ohio alone, which is a 9-hour drive. If she makes it, that proves there's a God. There was no other way for her to go. Now, I'll tell you why. You'd figure, well, geez, she's 16. It'd be better if she was with somebody. It would be much better if she was with somebody. But she applied to friend one, friend two, and friend three to go with her. Go with her to Brooklyn to see a concert. Let me tell you what happened to this kid. She had a best friend who she saw almost every day. She had a boyfriend who we liked, and she had a friend from New York who lived in Ohio, but somebody who had been from Brooklyn who now lived in Ohio. That's who she was going to go with, okay? They betrayed her, and they were with her for months and months and months. She hung out with these kids every day. Then one of them started to date the boyfriend. And then the other one started to say terrible things to my daughter. And now all of a sudden she's moments away from having to drive across Pennsylvania, which is the worst drive in the world. You come to hate Pennsylvania if you drive from Ohio to New York. You come to hate it. And so she didn't have anyone to go with. These people betrayed her. Now, in 11th grade, it's a little easier to know who your friends are. Not much easier, but a little easier. And then I'm sitting there thinking, well, who are my friends? And I have always been puzzling over this since I've been an adult. For a while, I said, you know who my friends are? They're the people who will eat lunch with me more than once and will offer to pick up the check. That's my definition of a friend in adulthood. Oh, they're going to eat lunch with me more than once. I don't know how to talk about sports. I don't know anything about sports. All I know about sports is Trevor Lawrence. I like watching Trevor Lawrence throw a football. That I understand. That is an amazing gift he has. He has a Jesus arm. It's the only way I can explain it. It makes no sense. When he was 12, he could throw a ball 50 yards. That I understand. Then if you say there are flags, downs, penalties, I don't get it. I don't have any idea what downs and flags are. What is that? It looks like garbage on the field. Why would you make a mess on the field throwing all those flags down? And I'm not kidding. When I watch football or basketball, I can't tell the difference of one play to another play. They all look exactly the same to me. Identical. I can watch baseball and I can absorb that. I can understand the difference in each play in baseball, and I understand the rules because I have time to digest it. Now, is this because I'm not smart? Well, I'm not smart, but I don't think that's it. It's just a sports chip. Well, what that means is that when I'm with guys and they're talking sports, and then they start to get louder. The team. They always get louder as they start talking about sports. Yeah, did you see that game? Did you see that play in Buffalo? And Buffalo? And Buffalo? For some reason, it always goes to Buffalo. But Buffalo! It always goes to Buffalo. They start yelling about Buffalo. Always trouble with the team in Buffalo. Because that is the only possible reason to be in Buffalo. And I'm left out. They're usually having these conversations while grilling steaks. Big, meaty steaks that I couldn't possibly eat. A big prime rib. You want one of these prime ribs? Well, look at this. I'm like, no, that steak's too big for me. It will eat me. I'm terrified of big steak. football conversations, terrified of all of it. Well, anyway, that's been my experience in talking about sports and hanging out with guys and determining who's my friend. I'm not going to play any sport with them except bowling. I'll go bowling with you, except no one I meet ever wants to go bowling. There's my dilemma. I'll play Frisbee with you because I was one of the inventors of Ultimate Frisbee. No, really, I was. That I understand. Nobody gets hurt. One of the goals of Ultimate Frisbee was that nobody would get hurt. But I don't know how to play these games. And this has been a curse all of my life, a challenge all of my life to be one of the guys. Therefore, my criteria for being friends is, do you like this restaurant? Can we go to this restaurant together and converse about media and radio? Well, now we're getting to a very short list. You know, when I lived in Manhattan, that was not a problem. I could go with a different person to lunch, to a nice lunch, and talk about radio and TV and media, no problems. But, you know, since I was forced against my will to move to the Midwest, there's nobody for me to eat with because there's no one who's going to talk about anything but sports. And then I was talking to my current wife, and I'm like, why is it that in these Midwest towns are they all so obsessed with sports? What is it about it? And then I realized what it was. And this is not facetious, a little. There's nothing else to do. There's absolutely nothing else to do in these cities except talk about sports because there is nothing else. Well, they have great museums. Really? Well, how often do you visit a museum? Museums in your city, how often do you visit them? Once every 2 years, when there's a school field trip and they need chaperones. That's when you go to the museum. And then halfway through it, you're bored out of your freaking mind. You're bored out of your mind. The challenge of living in the suburbs in the Midwest, my friend, is there's nothing to do. There are malls that were, you know, became dated in 1988. The concept of a mall became dated in 1995, but the specific ones near you became dated in 1988. And then in too many Midwestern cities, the coffee shops, well, there aren't any. The restaurants close at 2:30. In Manhattan, in New York City, in any borough, they're open 24 hours a day. Restaurants are open 24 hours a day. No problem. But in the Midwest, restaurants are one-shift restaurants. They have an 8-hour shift, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., and then that's it. Wow. That's tough. There's nothing to do. And that is the hell I have been put into as punishment for all of my trips to Los Angeles. And that is why I am a misfit, a midnight misfit. That is why I stay up late, because when I stay up late, I don't notice that there's nothing for me to do. I can watch TV. That seems like plenty of activity. But let me tell you, man, it's a hard life. I have developed an enormous respect for this band, Haim. Three girls, three women, the youngest of which was in the movie Licorice Pizza. She is the star of Licorice Pizza. She's an amazing talent. And I have become obsessed with the group Haim. I have watched every video of theirs over and over and over again. And they're directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. Yes, that's right. The famous movie director just is buddies with them and directed their videos. But the story that Alana Haim tells at the beginning of this song is the coolest thing. She told this at Red Rocks. Listen to this.
So again, I'm going to set the scene. Days Are Gone is done. We're done. We have to go home. We have to write songs. Really scary. Scary. We have nothing left over. We have to start from scratch. What do? What do three girls from the valley do? We get into a living room. That's what we do. We get into a living room. Sorry, I need to set up for my punchline here. So, we're all sitting together, we're writing songs. We write this one song, and it's a ballad. And I say this every night, because it means I'm telling the truth. I don't like ballads. I don't like a ballad. I don't like a ballad. But I liked the song. I liked the song, so I kept the song. And every time me and Danielle and SU get together and we review all the songs, I'd be like, you guys, there's this one song. We can't let go of it. And SU and Danielle would be like, you're annoying. Stop bringing up this song. And I'd be like, I would say, I'm not going to stop bringing it up until we figure this out. So, Beyonce. Thank you, Beyonce, wherever you are.
Thank you, Queen. Thank you, Queen, wherever you are.
Thank you. Yes, I put Beyonce. Thank you, Queen. I love you. She likes the story, obviously. Blessing. So one day, SD and Danielle are like, we're going to figure this out for you. And we're in the studio, and we're with Ariel, who's here tonight. Ariel Rekshai, the producer.
Ariel Rekshai.
I don't know where he is. He's here somewhere. And we're fiddling around with songs, and then we hear this one.
Alana Haim telling a great story about how they wrote this song. And you will hear the whole story coming up in just seconds on Sterling on Sunday. My number is 888-688-WALT. 888-688-WALT. And you and I should talk because you don't fit in. We are misfits. We're misplaced and we're misfits. Now, you can get a Midnight Misfit membership card if you go to Walter Sterling Show and click the tab that says Midnight Misfits. You can print it out and you'll get a secret decoder card. And I will give you secret decoder messages coming up in just seconds. It's a fun show tonight. We're having a good time. This is Sterling on Sunday.
Sterling on Sunday weather from Boston to La Jolla. This is Dr. Dave. Very wet in the Pacific Northwest. Seattle will see rain every day this week, which means heavy wet snows in the Olympic and Cascade Mountains and moving into the Northern Sierra by midweek. 5 to 7 inches of rain in Seattle by Friday, 3 to 5 inches of rain in Portland, and over a foot of snow up in Mount Hood, Oregon. Sacramento gets only a tenth of an inch of rain, but perhaps more over the next weekend. Las Vegas can bet on some windy days this week, with temperatures close to 80 degrees on Tuesday through Thursday, turning cooler by next weekend. Same for Southern California as well, perhaps some light rain over the next weekend. Fairbanks, Alaska, and Portland, Maine, about the same forecast. Occasional light snow with a high of around 25 degrees. This is Dr. Dave Iser, staff meteorologist for Sterling on Sunday. Next weather at 6 and 36 past every hour, only on Sterling on Sunday.
So again, I'm going to set the scene. Days Are Gone is done. We're done. We have to go home. We have to write songs. Really scary. Scary. We have nothing left over. We have to start from scratch. What do? What do three girls from the valley do? We go into a living room. That's what we do. We get into a living room. Sorry, I need to set up for my punchline here. So, we're all sitting together, we're writing songs. We write this one song, and it's a ballad. And I say this every night, because it means I'm telling the truth. I don't like ballads. I don't like a ballad. I don't like a ballad. But I liked the song. I liked the song, so I kept the song. And every time me and Danielle and SU get together and we review all the songs, I'd be like, you guys, there's this one song. We can't let go of it. And SU and Danielle would be like, you're annoying. Stop bringing up this song. And I'd be like, I would say, I'm not going to stop bringing it up until we figure this out. So, Beyonce wins. Thank you, Beyonce, whatever you want.
Chicky Queen. Amy Queen, wherever you are.
Thank you. You're set for Beyonce. Thank you.
I love you.
She likes the story, obviously. Bless you. So one day, I stand here, I'm like, we're going to figure this out for you. And we're in the studio, and we're with Ariel, who's here tonight. Ariel Rekshai, the producer.
Ariel Rekshai.
I don't know where he is. He's here somewhere. And we're fiddling around with songs, and then we hear this one. Magical sound. And in the sound, I'm like, you guys, I think we got something. And then, Bada Bing Bada Boom, it was our first single.
Yes, it was! Yes!
So I tell this story every night because I have to shout out every little sister and brother out there. I see all of you. Siblings out there, I tell you to stand your ground. Because at the end of the day, you're always right.
Alana Haim of the Haim Family Singing Group. I love every song they do. I enjoy their videos, which are directed by Paul Thomas Anderson. And she is the star of Licorice Pizza, which is my favorite movie in decades. In decades. I have never enjoyed a movie as much as Licorice Pizza, starring Alana Haim. You've got to go see it. That is your homework assignment. Go and see it. Now, what I don't understand is that at the beginning of the publicity tour in November for Licorice Pizza, the two leads did the publicity, Cooper Hoffman and Alana Haim. All of a sudden, about 6 weeks ago, Cooper Hoffman disappeared. He's charming, he's funny, and he had as many, if not more, lines in the movie than Alana Haim. But they made him disappear. Now, I don't know why they made him disappear, but I'm going to tell you this. It is a mistake. He should have been on every TV show with her, because they are charming together. They're a great team. But I know an evil PR person made him disappear. I know that's exactly what happened. Bet you any amount of money. Licorice Pizza, that's your homework assignment. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. And oh my gosh, there's Tony in Pittsburgh listening on KDKA. Hi, Tony.
Hey, good morning, Walter. How are you?
Tony, I'm cold.
It's chilly.
Well, I do my show from my laundry room. And
yes, I know that.
And therefore, it's cold. Now, I'd prefer it to be cold than warm because I perform better when it's cold, at least on the radio. But the fact is that it's chilly, to answer your question, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am listening to the show at my desk at work, because I am a misfit and I work swing hours, more or less.
And this is the best time to work, but we are left out of we're left out of all office parties. Like, you come in and you say,
right,
gee, somebody had a birthday party today, and there's one oatmeal raisin cookie sitting there.
Well, we usually get left with the crumbs, I guess.
Exactly.
well, my biggest concern about the war, and yes, honestly, it's a little tongue in cheek, but I'm very concerned about the people of Ukraine and everybody involved. You know, the costs of war are always much greater than the cause of war. But tongue in cheek, my biggest worry is, well, not so much tongue in cheek because it's affecting everybody, is at the gas pump. And I mean, because even if it isn't directly related to gas prices, they could make it directly related to gas prices. You know, they're already promising like $6 per gallon by midsummer, I believe. And the other major concern is, how will it preempt March Madness? Which my moniker for March Madness is March Sickness. So I'm wondering what your thoughts are on those couple items.
Why do you feel it's March Sickness?
It's not my favorite sport. It's probably my least favorite sport.
Do you understand it at all? Do you understand it at all?
Very little, because I played when I was young, and I have a good friend who was a legend in his time, at least locally, and he knew the game inside and out, so I learned from him. But we're about 30 years removed from that. Now, to me, it's vomit-inducing.
Well, it's ridiculous, because, first of all, it's the longest season known to man. It's like a season on Mars.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I cannot differentiate one play to another, one play to another. I can't tell the difference. They do this. Now we're on offense. Now we're on defense, and that flips in 8 seconds. So I don't understand any of this, I don't get it. It's a sport I don't understand. Why can't they have a normal season?
Right.
Not to mention,
well, George Carlin said it best.
Yes.
You remember George Carlin?
Sure, he was brilliant.
I think the greatest comedian of all time, in my modest opinion.
I agree.
But he said to energize basketball or make it more exciting, he said they needed to put gasoline fires on several of the lines. That I don't know what those lines mean in the game either.
No.
But to add a gasoline fire on a line or two would make it much more exciting, he thought. And I think that's very true.
Now, you're in Pittsburgh, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Have they rebuilt the bridge yet?
I think that bridge is going to be closed for many, many years.
You know, can you imagine how many consultants and how many engineers are going to be needed to rebuild that bridge?
Well, I'm just glad, and for selfish reasons, my daily route isn't affected by that bridge being out. But I would be very frustrated and unhappy if it was. And I know several people that are.
I'm sure. Hey, listen, you like the show, Tony?
I love it.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to Sterling on Sunday. It's 46 past the hour. This is Sterling on Sunday. MyPillow is the company built on comfort. Everything they make that touches you is comfortable. You get more relaxed, more comfortable. Now, listen to this. They make the best slippers I have ever enjoyed. Now, I'm a very good slipper customer because I have flat feet. Yes, flat feet. And people in flat feet are very particular about their slippers. I love the MyPillow slippers because, first of all, they're comfortable on my flat feet. But also, you name the color and they make it. Pink, brown, black, white. MyPillow slippers are amazing, but that's not the best part. The best part is that the MyPillow slippers can be worn outside. You know how in the morning you go outside and you check the bird seed and the newspaper and all of that? Well, the MyPillow slippers can be worn outside. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Call them. Talk to them. There is a MyPillow customer service person waiting to talk to you. Look at the clock. Look at the time of day. Look at the day of the week. Oh, my gosh, there's a MyPillow person waiting to talk to you. They'll listen to your stories. They'll listen to your bad jokes. And they'll answer every question you have about the MyPillow brand slippers. And it's important to call now because they are overstocked. They have too many of these in the warehouse. They got to move it out. You can get the right price. And if you say, my name, Walter, you'll get a great discount. 800-844-0876. Pick up the phone, call them. 800-844-0876. 800-844-0876. Find out everything you want to know about the MyPillow brand slippers and discover a brand new level of comfort for your feet.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Ron Puffio.
And the pocket fisherman's handle is its own mini tackle box.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Story. Thank you. For our next Florida story, we're going to the Daytona Beach area, where a string of dead prostitutes led to a big investigation about 6-7 years ago and has gone cold. It turns out they finally caught the guy. He had been a college cheerleader, one of these male college cheerleaders. And his senior year of college, he just thought he'd go on a little streak there where he was killing hookers. Police had interviewed him years ago because they interviewed everyone in the area that had recently purchased the caliber and type weapon that was used to kill all three of these prostitutes. And while he had a decent alibi and he checked out, one of the agents just had his spidey sense tingling about this guy. So they snuck a sample of his DNA. Like they do in the movies, like they do on TV shows. So if you've always been suspicious about the men who want to be cheerleaders, yeah, maybe there is something wrong with them. Hold my beer. For our next Florida story, we're going to Mims, where a 46-year-old Florida man goes to a sports store. And by sports store, I don't mean like basketballs and running shoes. I like fishing rods and guns and things like that. And he wants to get himself a crossbow, but he doesn't want to pay for it. So he takes the pieces of the crossbow and he shoves them down his pants, but now he can't bend his knee. And so he hobbles out on a pair of crutches, but he's not fooling anybody. Clearly they can see something bulging in his right pant leg. So they stop him, they pull out the pieces of the crossbow, and he's going to jail. But of all the things to steal, I can understand stealing jewelry. I can definitely understand stealing food or medicine. I can understand stealing high-value items that you can easily turn around and get cash for, whether it be a pawn shop or some dude on the street. But there is no resale black market for crossbows. I've never even heard of someone stealing a crossbow before. Hold my beer. For our next Florida story, we're going to St. Pete Beach. It's in the Tampa area. It's 2:15 a.m. on Friday, which you and I know translates to really late on a Thursday night. And it's almost impressive that a 49-year-old Florida woman is this intoxicated on a Thursday night that when she goes into the beach lounge in St. Pete Beach, the bartender refuses to serve her. She makes a little bit of a fuss, calls for the manager. The manager comes over and he agrees. No, you're too intoxicated to be served. We're going to have to ask you to leave. So she goes to the bathroom, gets completely naked, and then comes out, summons the manager again, and commences giving him a piece of her mind. For all the guys that are wondering, is she hot, Parker? Is she hot? Calm down. She's absolutely disgusting. But give her credit. She knows it. She knows that taking off her clothes is actually punishment to anyone that has to be exposed to her. So I kind of admire her level of self-criticism. She wasn't a disgusting, ugly drunk. You know, it's almost admirable. Hold my beer. Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production. SpringRockMedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
I know you love Florida Stories, and I know you've had a tough week. I've met your significant other, and I can look in your eyes and I say, boy, you know, you've had a tough week. Therefore, I've got a special extra cut edition of Florida Stories right now.
For Sterling on Sundays, I'm James Parker, and this is Florida Stories. Thank you. For our next Florida story, we're going to Brandon, Florida. 57-year-old Florida man is a street sweeper. He has those big machines that kind of look like a Zamboni for a parking lot. And so he's doing this little pattern going up and down the rows of a supermarket parking lot. And at one point, he has to go out into the street, do a U-turn, and come back in. And just for that brief little moment that he is out of the shelter of the parking lot itself, this is at 11:30. So there's not a whole lot of traffic. But another Florida man, 43 years old, comes flying down the road in a 2016 Corvette. Doesn't have time to react to miss the big street sweeper Zamboni looking thing, but he manages to turn the wheel enough that he just clips it really hard and flies off. The driver of the street sweeper gets projected forward through the windshield. He lands in front of the street sweeper, which then runs him over and shreds him into a bajillion pieces. So we end up with this incredible headline: Florida man dies after being run over by street sweeper he drove.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What is this?
For our next Florida story, we're going to San Carlos Park, where a fourth grader is defending his title from last year's science fair. Yeah, he won third grade. Now he's going to go in fourth grade. So what'd he do? He took a giant globe from his dad, cut it in half, lined the inside with foil, and he's making a solar oven. So he has to suspend like a little muffin cup out there, and he's going to use the power of sunlight to do some baking. So he leaves it out in the front yard. He goes in between pictures because, you know, he's doing like a little time-lapse thing, and two thieves come up. They're in a car. They grab the globe, the solar oven, throw it in the back of their truck, and drive off. Have you ever even heard of a stolen science project before? Cops say they face 30 days in jail, followed by 2 weeks of detention. Hold my beer.
Wait. Hold my beer. What?
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
For our next Florida story, we're going to West Palm Beach. A woman got an alert on her doorbell camera right after 6 in the morning. So she goes and checks it, and it looks like there's a naked dude that just ran past her front door. That's weird. Next day, another naked man. So now, fast forward, for 2 straight months, almost every day from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m., at some point, this naked dude runs past her front door. She has alerted property management. She lives in like a condo community. And so they put the word out. They have some sort of Facebook group or email chain or something. Hey, check all your doorbell cameras. And they can see on other doorbell cameras, this is the same naked guy that's been jogging for the last 2 months. No one has seen him with their own eyes, but he's been caught on several doorbell cameras. And look, you know what his route is then. If you want to get in touch with this guy, if you want to give him a message, can't you just put out a sign? Like the realtors leave a sign in front of the house. Just be like, hey, naked man, could you put on some drawers, maybe? Maybe a shirt. Or here's a better idea. Why don't you get everyone in the condo community to pitch in, and maybe y'all can get him a treadmill.
Wait. Hold my beer.
What? Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. What?
Florida Stories is a Spring Rock production. SpringRockMedia@gmail.com. Follow me on Twitter @JamesParkerShow. For Sterling on Sundays, I am James Parker, and this is Florida Stories.
You have to send your kids to school, and the debate is, gee, should they go to school today, or will the school be bombed by Russians for no reasons? The greatest gift you and I can be given is a request for help.
And my classroom should be as well air conditioned as your favorite bar.
Next Sunday. All right. Right. Stay bright.